Issues involving race continue to be one of America's most stubborn triggers of hatred and conflict. Even as the nation celebrated the historic inauguration of its first African-American president in January. Questions involving reverse discrimination were the central focus of inquiry during Judge Sonia Sotomayor's Senate Supreme Court confirmation hearings, with white firefighters from New Haven, Connecticut, who testified that they were being victimized by being blocked from advancement even after passing a promotional test, after the results were thrown out. The July 16th incident between Harvard University professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. and Cambridge, Massachusetts police officer James Crowley set the stage for the latest national debate and media circus on the issue of race. Professor Gates, arriving back at his home after a trip to China, found his front door jammed. When Gates and his cab driver broke a screen door to gain entry into the professor's home, a neighbor called police to let them know that a burglary might be in progress. Upon arriving at the scene, Crowley questioned Gates, and a confrontation followed, causing Crowley to call for backup. Gates was arrested for disorderly conduct, but charges were later dropped. While the specifics of what the two men said to each other are in dispute, it's clear that the long history of racial profiling by American police affected the outcome of this encounter. During his July 22nd press conference, President Obama answered a question about the Gates incident by stating that the Cambridge police acted stupidly in arresting somebody when there was already proof that they were in their own home, words that he later backed away from. Obama, Gates, and Crowley planned to drink a beer together at the White House to symbolically bury the hatchet and close out the affair. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with David Carries, professor of constitutional law at Temple Law School and a leading civil rights attorney who examines the issues of racial profiling and class seen in the Gates-Crowley incident.
It wasn't that this officer is a Ku Klux Klan guy who uses the N-word or anything like that. I think it was a combination of big issues about the police that no one is quite talking about that really are independent of race. Because whether or not they arrest him after they find out that he, in fact, it's his home and he's come home from this trip and he's upset, whether or not they arrest him seems to be, in that sense, the major issue. And there's been fighting actually about the scope of disorderly conduct and crimes like that, disturbing the peace. There are lots of Supreme Court cases on it that mostly say, just because a person is disrespectful or talks back or doesn't immediately do everything an officer wants, particularly in the person's own home, is not an allowable basis. Even if it does meet the statutory definition, it would violate his constitutional rights. And the police seem to be saying, we control the streets, we even control the houses to some extent, and if someone shows disrespect to us or doesn't do what we think they need to do when we think they need to do it, that makes it criminal. This is really a central issue all over the world about what we mean by freedom. It's interesting to me to see the conservative side that is talking about freedom all the time, but don't seem to be much concerned about Professor Gates's freedom. Again, that would be independent of race. But then, of course, the way all of us perceive the issue, including Professor Gates and the officer, Crowley, can't be independent of race.
What is it about police departments' relationship with African Americans, minorities in general, that a lot of these white legislators, as well as commentators on the radio and these right-wing talk shows, don't get? Because they seem to think there's some kind of level playing field out there in terms of the police treatment of whites and minorities are identical.
One of the things that this conservative dominance, particularly about law and legal ideas in the last three decades, has done is to basically define racism as what I've been calling the Ku Klux Klan use of the N-word. And anything short of that is not racism. And simultaneously, they've latched on to something good that's happened. I mean, somewhere around World War II or thereafter, racism became wrong. So there's just so much contortion and denial in these things that I think are just deeply embedded in the culture. And so to me, the nomination process, since all this race stuff came up around Sotomayor, the Gates thing, both were just great moments for somebody like Obama, who's so good at this, to talk about it like he did in that Philadelphia speech during the campaign. But perhaps they've got their hands too full. Perhaps they can't step back and think that way yet. But those were two of the times where we could have tried to get at some of this and say, well, maybe just ending discrimination, you know, wasn't enough, the worst kinds of discrimination, and removing it from the law, the explicit forms of discrimination, wasn't enough. And, you know, we could have had a good discussion.
Professor Carey's beyond the issues of race, in this case involving Professor Henry Louis Gates, what about the issues of class? Here you have an elite Harvard professor versus a blue-collar cop on the beat. How much do you think class entered the picture here in this confrontation?
Again, it's like race. It couldn't help but enter and be combined, you know, class and race. Who is this, you know, intellectual who gets paid to do, you know, very little by the policeman's standard and doesn't work as hard and doesn't take as much risks and has had advantages or is presumed to have had advantages? And then if you throw in, and this black intellectual, how dare he yell at me, you know? Whereas, again, it's layers of empathy and of understanding. Whereas once he found out this is the way race could subtly, I don't know that this happened, but it's possible. Once he found out that Gates lives there, he's an elderly man, he walks with a cane, he came home from a long trip, he could have wound up in his mind thinking, perhaps, and more likely if it were a white professor, thinking, well, you know, this guy's letting off steam. He just had this trip. It is his house, and I'm invading his house. And really, there's no problem here. I'll walk away.
But he chose to do the other thing.
And I think you're right. Class played a role, as well as race.
That was David Carey's, professor of constitutional law at Temple University Law School. He is the author of the new book titled Philadelphia Freedom, Memoir of a Civil Rights Lawyer.